ඊළඟට වැදගත්ම දවස තමයි පාස්කු ඉරිදා. කතෝලිකයෙක්ට වැදගත්ම දවසක් තමයි පූජාව ඉවර වෙන්න කිට්ටුව ස්තුති කතාවක් කෙරෙමින් තිබුණේ වෙලාවේ.
On Easter Sunday 2019, six suicide bombs went off across Sri Lanka within the space of a few minutes. The bombers targeted three luxury hotels and three churches on this small island nation in the Indian Ocean.
What I saw was terrible scenes. Blood everywhere and people yelling and crying.
269 people were killed. 43 of them were foreign nationals, including 8 British tourists.
Mr. Speaker, today the flags in Downing Street and the Foreign and Commonwealth Office are flying at half-mast following the horrific Easter Day terrorist attack in Sri Lanka.
Chacun a le droit d'exercer sa foi sans peur, et ses actes ignobles devront être punis.
The Islamic State group said they carried out the attacks, but many questioned whether it was that simple. Now, 4 years on, the clamour for the truth has become deafening. Sri Lankan MPs, a parliamentary report, and the head of Sri Lanka's Catholic Church are all publicly questioning the official account and claiming government officials and politicians were also behind the attacks.
You have many such involvements of the top leadership in Sri Lanka were in a grand plot in order to gain power.
This film hears extraordinary testimony from high-placed whistleblowers who have never spoken before. They present evidence of top-level complicity in the Easter bombings by officials inside the Sri Lankan government.
I knew the truth. Who's culprit? Who's men organized? Who's order?
Our whistleblowers separately describe a direct relationship between a senior Sri Lankan intelligence official and the terrorist group who carried out the bombings. They tell us a plan was hatched to create chaos and fear in order to bring back to power Mahinda and Gotabaya Rajapaksa, two brothers who had ruled Sri Lanka for a decade but had been ousted from power a few years before.
This is the innocent people in the churches and the hotels they killed for to just make a power change.
This is Hanzir Azad Molana. He claims he saw a senior Sri Lankan intelligence agent meet with the suicide bombers prior to the Easter Sunday attacks.
Attack is not planned for the just 1 or 2 days, no. It's a, they plan years, 2-3 years, they plan and select a team and very big plan.
In 2022, he fled Sri Lanka, fearing what he knew could get him killed. Molana has presented sworn testimony to the United Nations Human Rights Council. He met with investigators for several days, and they're treating his claims as credible. He's also been interviewed by European intelligence agencies.
I have some strong proof they can't deny.
This is the first time he has told his story publicly. For almost 20 years, Molana worked as an aide and translator for Pillayan, a politician who became a key figure in the Rajapaksa brothers' inner circle. From 2005 to 2015, Mahinda and Gotabaya Rajapaksa ruled Sri Lanka with an iron fist. As one of the brothers' closest allies, Molana's boss, Pillayan, recruited members for this paramilitary death squad, which targeted the Rajapaksa's political foes. It was while working for Pillayan and his boss, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, that Maulana says he witnessed torture, violence and murder. He has decided to give his testimony to UN investigators and this program. He claims he could no longer live with what he knew.
I can't carry this sin to hold my life. I want to tell truth.
To understand Maulana's extraordinary claims, we need to go back to 2005, when Mahinda Rajapaksa was first elected president.
Mahinda Rajapaksa, his brand of politics is founded on patronage, it's founded on loyalty.
Mahinda's charisma captured the heart of a nation.
People thought he is more genuine. People believed in him. It was inborn in him, in winning heart of the people.
The dynamic new president had campaigned on a promise to end Sri Lanka's 30-year civil war. Like Mahinda Rajapaksa, the majority of the country is Buddhist and ethnically Sinhalese. But for decades, the sizable ethnic Tamil minority had felt marginalized by those in power. Then in 1983, Tamil separatists in the north, known as the LTTE or Tamil Tigers, took up arms against the Sri Lankan state to fight for an independent nation. It was a brutal and bloody war, with atrocities committed by both sides.
There had been mass murder carried out by the LTTE, the terrible, horrifying suicide bombings that killed thousands of people in the south. I think everybody just needed an end to it all.
I reiterate my call to LTTE to renounce terrorism and enter into negotiations to promote peace and development.
Despite Mahinda's words of peace, he had called on his younger brother and former soldier, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, to help him bring an end to the war.
As soon as Mahinda learned that he had won the presidential election, Gotabaya was standing right there. He embraced him and he said, "You will be my defense secretary."
As the new defense secretary, Gotabaya Rajapaksa quickly became the second most powerful man in government.
Gotabaya steered that whole war effort. He was directly communicating with commanders at the front, giving them direct orders to just commit murder.
During the final weeks of the war, the army corralled civilians and LTTE fighters into an ever-decreasing strip of land, before relentlessly shelling the area.
They made up their minds that there was going to be a massacre. They didn't care that it would involve thousands and thousands of civilians.
In the last phase of the war, an estimated 40,000 Tamil civilians were killed. In 2011, Channel 4's Killing Fields documentary revealed shocking footage showing extrajudicial killings and evidence that the UN described as possible war crimes committed by the Sri Lankan army. But for the government, their troops, and much of the Sinhalese majority, all that mattered was that they had won the war.
Ningal petrunanda perum vetri. Emudunachil Walum Allah Makkalin Vetri Emudu Tamil Makkalude Ulangali Vetri Kulla Windu.
While the Rajapaksa brothers were securing their victory over the Tamil Tigers, they were also waging a second war on civil society.
Gotabaya was someone who knew how to do repression really well. He was very effective in creating a climate of fear.
The defense secretary used whatever means necessary to maintain control. Our whistleblower says he and his boss, Pillayan, were at a meeting with Gotabaya Rajapaksa when he asked them to help him form a paramilitary death squad called the Tripoli Platoon.
He said to Pillayan, you select your best team and together work.
So Pillayan put his men to work for the Tripoli Platoon.
The Tripoli Platoon working under direct command of Gotabaya. They selected people against the government and they are targeting and killing.
You saw paramilitary groups working with the state. There were enforced disappearances of journalists, of activists.
The press bore the brunt of the Rajapaksa's crackdown.
The Nation newspaper's defense correspondent Keith Noyer is abducted and assaulted. Editor-in-chief attacked by an unidentified
group. Reporters were threatened, attacked, even murdered. Both Human Rights Watch and the US State Department have concluded that many of the attacks were carried out by the Tripoli Platoon.
Welcome to Newsline.
Despite the threats, there was one man who refused to be intimidated, Lasantha Wickrematunga. He was the founder and editor-in-chief of the Sunday Leader newspaper and a fierce critic of the Rajapaksa's rule. His brother Lal was the newspaper's publisher.
He felt that the media was not doing their job and he needed to break new ground. So he set this blazing trail.
The Sunday Leader had started earning a reputation for being focused on investigative journalism. As we went from one more daring expose after another, court cases started coming in. You know, the threats and, I mean, all of this started happening, but Lasantha was always in the forefront. He had become known on an international stage.
The paper continued to publish stories criticizing the Rajapaksas and came under frequent attack. The TV station where Lasantha also worked was firebombed.
We as media personnel must face up to this challenge, not be bowed down under whatever threats and intimidation, and unitedly face this threat.
Undeterred, Lasantha published successive allegations that Gotabaya Rajapaksa had siphoned money from the purchase of military jets, known as the MiG deal. Malana says the story left Gotabaya enraged and says Gotabaya Rajapaksa summoned him and Pillayan to a meeting where he said he wanted Lasantha dead.
We can meet Gotabaya in his room. He had a Sunday Leader paper at the front of him. He said, this balla, singular balla means dog. This balla is always play with me. And he says, Lasantha should be killed. If you can, you can do immediately. Soon as possible.
In an extraordinary editorial, written to be published in the event of his death, Lasantha predicted his own murder. It is read by his brother, Lal.
No other profession calls on its practitioners to lay down their lives for their art, save the armed forces, and in Sri Lanka, journalism. Indeed, murder has become the primary tool whereby the state seeks to control the organs of liberty. When finally I am killed, it will be the government that kills me.
Lasantha was killed on his way to work on January the 8th, 2009.
I myself believe that Lasantha was infallible, that he wouldn't go like that. He was bigger than life.
According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, Lasantha was the 19th to be killed in the final decade of the war.
Everyone thought no one would touch Lasantha. The moment you touch Lasantha, you create such a sense of fear amongst everyone. With that one assassination, you're able to silence so many people.
Lasantha knew the dangers of his work, of speaking truth to power, but felt he had no choice.
However many are slaughtered in the name of patriotism, the human spirit will endure and flourish. Not all the Rajapaksas combined can kill that.
By 2010, the Rajapaksas had silenced much of the independent media, and the brothers were riding high on their war victory. In November that year, Mahinda was re-elected president, and his younger brother Gotabaya remained defense secretary.
Country really owed a debt to him. These two were delivered. So we must bring him back for the second term without any question.
Winning the war made them very popular. They were thought to be heroes.
In the first few years of their second term, the Rajapaksas used their popularity to consolidate their power.
They have a sense of impunity and a sense of entitlement to the country. The family became part of everything, not just immediate family, but cousins, uncles, in-laws, etc. Everyone was given a position in government or they were involved in business and they were given favors by the state.
As many as 40 members of the Rajapaksa family were given government posts. Within a few years, family members controlled over 70% of Sri Lanka's national budget. Accusations of corruption swirled, and public opinion began to sour. The International Consortium of Investigative Journalists alleged that Rajapaksa family members had funneled money through secret offshore companies to stash their riches around the world. As the Rajapaksas neared the end of their second term, protests erupted.
It was becoming impossible to bear. People were very angry.
That anger drove millions to vote for change as the opposition ran on an anti-corruption ticket.
Hello, good evening and welcome. It was a momentous day for all of Sri Lanka. Promising changes to ensure good governance and democracy, Maithripala Sirisena was elected as the sixth.
In January 2015, a new president finally ousted the Rajapaksas from power, promising to bring a new kind of politics to Sri Lanka. For 20 years, Nishanta Silva was one of Sri Lanka's top policemen. When the Rajapaksas lost power, he was tasked by the new government with investigating human rights abuses during their time in office. He has given testimony to European intelligence agencies and the People's Tribunal at The Hague. This is the first time he has told his story to the media.
Why are you not in Sri Lanka?
I got the death threat to me and my family from the Army intelligence, Navy intelligence, and the former president Gotabaya Rajapaksa.
The criminal Investigations Department presented facts pertaining to the assassination of journalist Lasantha Wickramathunga to the Mount Lavinia.
Nishanta Silva's key case was the killing of newspaper editor Lasantha Wickramathunga. What he found led him to the notorious Tripoli Platoon.
Adivedi Lasantha Wickramathunga Mahatage Gatanete Tripoli Kandame Samajiken Visin Kanulabu Durakatana Pahak Saha. ඔවුන්ගේ ක්‍රියාදාමයන්ට සම්බන්ධ බවට තොරතුරු මට අනාවරණය කරගන්න පුළුවන් වුණා.
Nishanta says he used telephone records and cell site analysis to triangulate their locations. The evidence showed that members of the Tripoli platoon followed Lasantha from his home to the location where he was killed. For years, many people had suspected that Gotabaya Rajapaksa was behind the killing. But Nishanta was the first person to analyze the telephone records and find evidence to back up that claim.
ඕටාබේ රාජපක්ෂගේ ඍජු අධීක්ෂණයක් තියෙනවා ත්‍රිපොලි ප්ලැටූන් එක සම්බන්ධව. මම ගෝටාබේ ප්‍රශ්න කිරීම සඳහා අපරාධ පරීක්ෂක දෙපාර්තමේන්තුවට කැඳෙව්වා.
It was a bold move. Even out of power, Gotabaya Rajapaksa was widely feared and still had powerful friends.
ඊට පස්සේ මගෙන් ඇහුවා ඇයි තමුන් මාව මේ ලසන්ත වික්‍රමතුංගගේ නඩුවට සැකකරුවෙක් විදිහට උසාවියට කරුණු ඉදිරිපත් කළේ කියලා. මම අනවශ්‍ය දේවල් කරන්නේ නැහැ. අවශ්‍ය දේ විතරයි කරන්නේ. හැබැයි සර් මට කවුරු වුණත් කමක් නැහැ මම දානවා කියලා කිව්වා. එතට එයා මගෙත් එක්ක ඒ තරම් හොඳින් හොඳ බවක් පෙන්වුවේ නැහැ.
Powerful figures, still loyal to the Rajapaksas, stalled Nishant's investigation in the courts. But further allegations against the family continued to mount. Mahinda Rajapaksa, the former president, was called in for questioning on corruption charges.
Former Minister of Economic Development Basil Rajapaksa was arrested once again by the Police Financial Crimes Investigations Division.
Even Mahinda's son Namal was hauled in over allegations of fraud. The Rajapaksas and their allies were no longer protected.
No one would expect this planning. Everybody started because for 10 years we were in the power. So now they change everything suddenly. What happened? We were scared.
The CID said that Chandrakantan was arrested over the murder of former parliamentarian Joseph Pararajasingham.
In October 2015, police charged Pillayan with the murder of an anti-Rajapaksa politician at a midnight mass service in 2005. Pillayan was remanded in prison to await trial. Pillayan was imprisoned in his hometown of Batticloa. He remained a politician and a powerful local figure, so was granted special privileges. Maulana told UN investigators that Pillayan called him to a meeting from his cell.
Pillayan told me, I have some prisoners with me, but they are very interesting people. They are very extreme. He said, you meet one person. So one prison guard walked a person. He was a dark person with beard. I say salamu, he says salam, salam. The Muslims greeting, assalamu alaikum. He says Zaini Mulavi.
Zaini Hashim Mulavi was being held in prison on charges of religious extremism. His brother, Zaran, who was in hiding, had been recruiting followers for National Tawhid Jamaat, or NTJ. The NTJ were an Islamic extremist group who wanted to turn Sri Lanka into a caliphate.
அப்பாவிகளை கொல்லலாமா அப்படின்னு கேக்குறாங்க. அப்பாவி என்ற ஒரு சாரார் முதல் இஸ்லாத்தில் இல்லை.
ஒருவன் I never ever seen like these people because they are waiting for the death. You want death like that. So they want to go paradise. But in Pillayan says this group, we use them. They are not interested anything in the world. But we can use them.
According to Maulana, on Pillayan's orders, he found the men a lawyer and money for bail. They were released, and 3 months later, Maulana says he received more instructions.
In the January of the 2018, Pillayan told me, you organize a meeting between Suresh Saleh and these people.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is indeed a great privilege and honor for me to address this distinguished audience.
Suresh Saleh is a soldier who became a spy. The Rajapaksas championed his career, quickly promoting him through the ranks to become the Director of Military Intelligence. After the Rajapaksas lost the 2015 elections, Suresh Saleh was posted to Malaysia by the new government. He was still seen as fiercely loyal to his former bosses and maintained huge influence behind the scenes. Few people in Sri Lanka are willing to talk about one of the country's top spies, but this program secured a rare interview with another high-ranking former government official who knows how he operates from the inside. He was only willing to discuss Suresh Saleh anonymously.
ප්‍රශ්න
Maulana told UN investigators that at Pillayan's request, he arranged a meeting between Suresh Saleh and the men he had helped free from prison.
Exact location name is Karadipuel. After that, I give the information to that group to come to place. That's why I knew everything. I go to the place, big coconut farm. One horse is there.
Maulana says intelligence officer Suresh Saleh was there when he arrived and that they waited for the NTJ members to turn up.
They come a white van. Six people get down from the vehicle. Shaini Mulavi came and shake the hand. He hugged me and say salam. After that, introducing his brother, Shahra. And he says he's our Amir. Amir means a Muslim called leader. So I introduced Suresh Saleh to them.
According to Maulana's testimony to the UN, this was the moment he introduced one of Sri Lanka's most senior intelligence officers to the head of a known terror group. Maulana told UN investigators the meeting lasted 3 hours and that he was told to wait outside.
The meeting gone a long time. The meeting finished and Suresh Saleh told me, Rajapaksa need an unsafe situation in Sri Lanka. That's only the way to Gotabaya become president. So this is the meeting between them, with the terrorist group and Suresh Saleh.
Suresh Saleh told this program that he was in Malaysia at the time of the alleged meeting. By the end of 2018, Zahran's group, the NTJ, was beginning to make headlines.
The bodies of two police officers who were on duty at a roadblock in Batiklo have been found under suspicious circumstances.
The NTJ killed two policemen but managed to escape. Then, by January 2019, police investigations led them to a safe house on a coconut farm. Maulana says it was the same place where Suresh Saleh met with Zahran and the NTJ. When detectives raided the property, they made an alarming discovery. Alongside this huge stash of explosives, police also found weapons and military hardware. They arrested two suspects. They had enough information to arrest Zahran and his NTJ followers. But at every turn, police investigators ran into brick walls. Our whistleblower can confirm that while police tried to track down the leader of the terrorist group, military intelligence was producing evidence which police investigations would later reveal to be baseless. These conflicting and unfounded intelligence reports, seen here, show that Sri Lanka's military intelligence tried to stifle the investigation at every turn. Rumors of an impending terror attack had even made it abroad. 2 weeks before the bombings, India's intelligence services warned their Sri Lankan counterparts that Zahran was planning an attack. When a top police official read the warnings, he tried to raise the alarm and wrote a memo, seen here, to the security services. The intelligence even specified Catholic churches as possible targets. But shortly after the attacks, top government officials said the warnings never reached them nor the president.
Thank you.
my daughter, she spent most of the time with me. She loved to create the songs, and we sang together. She played guitar all the time and the pianos, and we played together. Just all the time. I do everything for her. Take to the school, take him back to home. Homeworks together and then play together.
Sudesh Kolane and his daughter Alexandria were inseparable. In 2019, he and his wife Manik had recently returned to Sri Lanka after more than 2 decades living in Australia. The couple wanted to raise their daughter in their homeland, alongside their extended families. Sudesh is a Buddhist, but on special occasions, he would join his wife and daughter at their local church, San Sebastian's.
That day was quite special because my daughter and wife, they are very excited. They are celebrating about the Easter Sunday as a Catholic. They really want to go to the church.
That same morning, almost 200 miles away on Sri Lanka's eastern coast, Mulana says he received an unexpected phone call from Suresh Sali.
Suresh Sali called me actually. He just said, immediately you can go to the Dachamutra hotel. A person wait for you, come out, you take him into your vehicle immediately. Once you take his phone. After that, ask him where he can go and drop him. This one, he can give instruction to me. But I told, sir, I was in Batticolo.
Around the same time, in the capital Colombo, CCTV from the Taj Samudra Hotel showed a member of Zahran's NTJ group in the restaurant at 8:50 a.m. He was wearing a backpack laden with explosives. Hanzia says he now believes that this was the man who Suresh Sali had asked him to meet there. The would-be attacker then received a phone call. 2 minutes later, he leaves the hotel without detonating his bomb. Back in San Sebastian's, the Easter service was coming to an end.
That day I parked my car outside the church. A lot of people for the Easter Sunday. Quite packed the church that day. When the end of the ceremony, and my wife said to me, you go and get the vehicle, then we come outside.
As Suresh stepped outside to collect his car, another worshipper, Niranjali, her husband and 2 daughters, had just returned to their seats after receiving Holy Communion.
Atai hatalis haya kiela velava sandahan vela tibune. Ekkalama thamai maha sadhyakin e bombe pipurune. ඇත්තටම ඒ සද්දෙත් එක්කලා මට කතා කරන්න ඇස් අරින්න බැරුව ගියා. මත් ඇදගෙන වැටුණා.
Sudesh was still outside.
A huge noise, and plus the smoke everywhere. I was crying and screaming and running around to find the wife and daughter. The bodies are everywhere. It was unreal. First of all, I saw my daughter on the floor. I mean, she already dead. It was quite an unbelievable experience.
Sudesh lost both his wife and daughter in the blast. Niranjali was covered in debris as she lay on the ground.
ඊළඟට මම දැක්කේ මගේ කකුල් දෙක ළඟ වැටිලා හිටපු මගේ චූටි දුවයි ලොකු දුවයි. එයාලා දෙන්න ඇස් අරගෙන හිටියේ. නමුත් මගේ චූටි දුව දකින්නකොට මගේ හිතින් මට කිව්වා මගේ චූටි දුව ජීවතුන් අතර නැහැ කියන.
Her husband and older daughter were still alive and were taken to hospital. Both later died from their injuries. In total, 115 people were killed at San Sebastian's church, including 27 children. almost simultaneously, five other bombs had gone off around the country. Two other churches were hit, St. Anthony's in Colombo and the Zion in Batacloa. Bombs also struck three luxury hotels along Colombo's seafront. The Cinnamon Grand, the Kingsbury, and group leader Zahran targeted the Shangri-La Hotel with another bomber. British teenagers Amelie and Daniel Lindsay were killed while on holiday with their father. Another Brit, 43-year-old Ben, was the only surviving member of the Nicholson family. 11-year-old American Kieran D'Souza was killed at the Cinnamon Grand Hotel as he ate breakfast with his mother and grandmother. Danish billionaire Anders Poulsen and his wife Anne lost three of their four children at the Shangri-La Hotel. A seventh explosion took place at the Tropical Inn, a small hotel in central Colombo at around 2 p.m., killing the bomber and two others. The attacker was the man who had left the Taj Samudra Hotel that morning. By the end of the day, more than 250 people had died. In the days after the Easter bombings, police raided several addresses across the country. At one, they located group leader Zahran Hashim's brother, Zaini, the man who Hanzia said he had met in prison. As soldiers prepared to storm the building, the family posted a defiant video online. When the army entered, they blew themselves up alongside their wives and children.
After Easter bomb happened, I realized the forces who were the participate in the meeting. First is the Shahran, suicide bomber and leader. So I knew these people already. I met them. I'm scared. Then I talked to Pilar. Then I said, "You shut up your mouth. You don't know anything. That's it."
Five US citizens had been killed at the seafront hotels, prompting FBI agents to begin their own investigations. Our whistleblower says the police were prevented from interrogating the suspect by military intelligence themselves. He says he's seen evidence pointing to the man pulling the strings, Suresh Saleh, Gotabaya Rajapaksa's most trusted confidant in the intelligence services.
What role do you believe Suresh Saleh may have played in the Easter bombings?
Within days of the bombings, Gotabaya Rajapaksa announced his political comeback. With his big brother Mahinda's support, he declared he was running for the presidency in elections that year.
When I saw Gotabaya was running for election in 2019, I wasn't surprised. I always, for a very long time, knew he would. This is a power-hungry individual.
Gotabaya Rajapaksa's electoral platform was simple. He fomented a wave of Islamophobia so that now only he the former defense secretary who had marshaled the defeat of the Tamils in the civil war, could keep the country safe from this new Muslim threat.
Apita yali me divaina loke surakshitama rata bavata patkala haki bava mama ita vishwasen prakasha karanawa.
A little more than 6 months after the Easter bombings, Gotabaya Rajapaksa was elected president of Sri Lanka with a thumping majority. Pillayan and other Rajapaksa loyalists welcomed the family's return.
They did these murders because of his orders. They need him to power.
Almost immediately after taking office, Gotabaya Rajapaksa derailed the investigation into the bombings. Gotabaya Rajapaksa then appointed Suresh Sale, head of the country's intelligence services. His most loyal acolyte was now Sri Lanka's most senior spy.
Parliamentarian Sivanesa Sathuray Chandrakanta were granted bail by the Batticaloa High Court in the case filed.
Then in November 2020, Pillayan was released on bail, and 2 months later, the charges were dropped. When the presidential inquiry into the Easter attacks concluded, Gotabaya Rajapaksa refused to release the report. We have obtained a copy which reveals that the lead bomber was known to intelligence services for years before the attacks. Ever since the bombings, the loudest voice calling for justice is the head of the Catholic Church in Sri Lanka, Cardinal Malcolm Ranjith. He says he's seen evidence that shows government officials were behind the attacks and now openly calls for a truly independent investigation.
People have a right to know. And we have a right to know because we lost our own people. And we will continue with this struggle until we know the truth.
In 2022, the Cardinal travelled to the Vatican, where the Pope echoed his call.
Senza fare un appello alle autorità del vostro paese, per favore, per amore alla giustizia, per amore al vostro popolo, che si chiarisca definitivamente chi sono stati i responsabili di questi eventi.
But Gotabaya's time as president lasted less than 2 years. After months of political turmoil, in September 2022, he fled the country after protesters stormed the presidential palace. A popular uprising had driven him out following the country's worst ever economic crisis. Nevertheless, the former president returned to Sri Lanka just weeks later to lay low in Colombo's most exclusive neighborhood, where he still resides.
The Rajapaksa has wielded such massive power for so long. And I think there are so many enmeshed with them and working for them, and so many who have colluded and been paid off and continue to steal and continue to gain, to profit. It's too wide a circle to be eradicated. It's become a way of life. It's become a way of politics. It's the system.
The allegations in this program were put to Gotabaya Rajapaksa and Pillayan. They did not respond. Suresh Sale denies any connection with the Easter bombings and says he was in Malaysia at the time he is alleged to have met NTJ members and in India at the time of the attacks. He also said that he was not operative in the defence or security structure of Sri Lanka between January 2018 and the 2019 attacks. For the families who lost their loved ones, many feel they still have no answers.
Why they killed my family? I really want to go and ask. That's the question I'm thinking to myself still.
Magichivite
මට තිබිච්ච හැම දේම එක මොහොතකින් මට අහිමි වෙලා ගියා. මට දැන් කිසිම දෙයක් මගේ ලෝකෙ මගේ දරුව දෙන්න ආයි කවදාවත් එයාලා මට අම්මා කියන්නේ.
Kill only people for the power. They select the churches and hotels. Very ugly truth.
The whistleblower's testimonies raise serious questions. Did a senior intelligence official meet covertly with Islamic extremists before they committed the biggest terrorist attack in Sri Lanka's history? Did military intelligence mislead the police in their attempts to apprehend the terrorist group? And did Gotabaya Rajapaksa's government sabotage investigations into the bombings? The families of the victims deserve to know.